still streaming. Holmberg's Morning Sickness. Online at 98kupd.com.
98kupd, thank you, inept hero. Glorious Wednesday morning. Already Wednesday because we skipped a day, which is fantastic work on our part. Well done. Dumping out. I saw this hilarious article about people who, like everybody's paying attention to these people who struggled with the corona shutdown, you know, not necessarily financially, but mentally. They had problems and they need attention because socially they were taken out.
Lacking.
Yeah, they took out of society. They couldn't be social. It depressed them. They got into deep depressions. And there were a lot of people who ended up hitting the bottle. And then somebody else said, well, what about the people who loved it, who now have to climb back into everyday work?
Yep. Right.
And that's and the article, basically the writer of the article said, you need to change your lives. Well, why doesn't that apply to the other people too then? Why doesn't that mean, why is it so easy for an antisocial person to all of a sudden have to change to be social because that's more accepted than it is the person who's social who had to be antisocial and now all of a sudden everybody's coddling to them and you have to have safe zones in your workplace for them to make sure that they're allowed to socialize? Like, Jesus Christ. Get back to work and shut up. I loved it. I loved the isolationist, no small talk, no handshakes, no pop-ins kind of part of COVID. I thought that was unbelievable. It's a utopia for me. Going back in, you buck up and just say, well, I got to go back and deal. But, you know, it's up to you. But there are probably people who got depressed from that. Anybody who shouts the word depressed right now pretty much just gets like, well, it's a syndrome. Like, well, deal with it. You know,
isn't that a term shouldn't be thrown around loosely, though?
I'm depressed.
Well.
Yeah, you're just a little upset.
Yeah.
Depression's real.
Depression is very real.
Being a little
real.
Upset about the current circumstances, kind of day to day.
You're not.
You're like getting
depressed.
The opposite. How you doing? I'm great.
Yeah.
The person that serves it. Are you?
You're depressed
people. No, we want
people.
The real. Right. Don't joke around.
No, they're not really. Real depressed people can't get out of bed. Like, they can't move. That's real. The people are like, geez, I wish I could go to a restaurant or a bar, and I guess I'm. And they hit the bottle at home, and next thing you know, they're mentally just
or
gone.
Something.
Oh,
food.
Yeah, some food.
Whatever.
Don't point to Brady when you say that. That was rude.
Well, I'm just
sorry, that was rude. What a terrible dick that is. We'll talk to HR about that. The conversations he has with it, very uncomfortable. And then we get records for years and years. You calling Brady a fatty? We're all done. Yeah, what if that becomes, Jesus Christ, Brady, get with your friends. If that ever becomes a thing where fat rights happen, and then, oh my God, we're all guilty. Everybody's made a fat joke in their lives.
You just can't worry about it.
You can't win.
You'll make yourself crazy. Yeah.
I don't worry about it. It's just social commentary.
It sucks.
Yeah,
I agree with you. It totally sucks. Yeah. It's garbage. But what are you going to do? It's the world we're in. You have to. Eventually, you have to just accept that this is what we're living with. I had a younger millennials at my house this weekend, and they were talking about tranny rights the whole time. I'm like, it's like, seriously.
Yeah.
I'm like sitting there like just rolling my eyes going, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm not jumping
well,
in the middle of this.
What do they know about tranny rights?
Hey, they just get out of college, and they want to
change the world.
Change the world with their conversations. And
they're feeling that the trannies that they hang out with so often are being pushed.
Listen, I did not.
I was sad. I'd have
treated different.
That's where I realized. I go, all right. This is the world we're in.
I'm all for tranny rights. I don't care what you do. Everybody's got them, but I find it funny when other people want them.
Non-trannies debating this.
Yeah, that's where I kind of lose my, I'm going to go ahead and listen to this.
But everybody's allowed to, have conversation. I mean, we're discussing blackface.
Yeah,
none of us are black in here.
Well, I mean, that's the thing.
We're missing a black perspective.
In my world, when I go and do an impression of a black guy, and somebody says that's offensive, and the next thing you know, it's like he's done this before, and then that becomes, black voice or whatever.
He was on a podcast with Shaq and did Shaq to Shaq.
Yeah.
Is that going to be somehow retroactive
and
now?
And Shaq's like, that's pretty great. How long did that take you to do? And I'm like, I don't know.
Minute. 30 seconds. Oh, if it gets to, just doing the voices bad?
Frank has been told.
You got problems.
Frank has been told you don't do any of the black voices. By
who?
By people who hire him. Big conventions. I'm not going to say the companies. But say don't do the black voices.
Oh,
don't
so
do
these
that.
Are businesses.
Businesses
that
have him hired for like 1,000 people. So.
I guess
because he's not black. Then he wouldn't go on TV.
Even
Frank says, I'm not going on TV anymore doing any of the black voices. I won't. He's the Morgan Freeman's the only one I'll do. And that's just voiceovers. But I won't go do that too often.
But that's become his
camera.
Choice at that point.
Right. Because he realizes, there's money that slides away from me. if that's the case, and money speaks.
Money speaks. Changes
so you start worrying about like voiceover things and things like that. It's like, oh, you want to do that? That plays the game. It's just this weird slipping, like, well, if we can do that, then we can do that, and we can do that. And then the dominoes. And I don't know who the people are that perpetuate it, but they're out there, and they're getting things done. And that's the scary thing. I think what we really lash out with in these situations is, who's doing it? I think society gets angry, and you get like, what's going on? Because we don't know who's doing it. They're the they. And this is the biggest the they have ever been. They used to be car mechanics. They used to be, they always get you. They used to be phone companies.
Car salesmen.
Car salesmen. They all blah, blah, blah. And you know what they do? They get you on this. Now they is this gigantic blob of consciousness that morally dictates all sorts of. I don't know who they are. I don't know anybody. I don't know a single person who's like, well, this is something you have to comply to. I just know people who are complying because they're scared that person exists. We don't know who it is. I don't know one person in this building well enough to know if they're in compliance to the big blob of morality. I don't know. So I'm afraid of it. And I think everybody else is too. Now, I don't step in it too often when it comes out. I'll play the game because I'm pretty open that it's not like I am not racist. I hate all races. And I like individuals. I think all races and bunches are a mess. And I think when you say we're a race, you represent so many different types of things. To clump it into one thing is wrong, and that's racist. So I don't care what anybody thinks about that stuff. I don't like any group that says here's what we all are and what we all represent as one homogenized thing. Impossible, and that's just wrong and incomplete. So, but I don't know. Who are they? Who are the people?
I think what has built up over the years is the behavior that people like to see someone in power and for like to go down.
Always like to tear them down.
People love getting.
And that's the fascination part of it. People are like, oh, here we go.
Boy, it's a
disaster. Let's see this happen.
But yeah, I mean, it gets down to it. We talked to Elon Gold, who's Jewish, and he goes, as a Jewish white man, I get away with a little more than you guys, but I don't like doing the black voices anymore just in case. Somebody in the club's filming, and that guy does some amazing impressions. But he sticks to his Goldblum, and it basically stymies creativity when you're like, well, you're not allowed to do 20 different things because you just in case.
You start
double checking what you're doing, and sure. It's like, I'm really not doing anything wrong, and there's no malicious intent, and context is out the window now because it doesn't really matter why you were doing. Again, Tropic Thunder is the perfect example where context is just missing completely. But because nobody even knows why that character is that. But Robert Downey Jr. They should have. Are you kidding me? You should have had a black guy play that role. It doesn't make sense.
The more you have, the more people underneath you are trying to get to that spot. And they'll do whatever it takes. A lot of people don't have morals. And they'll do whatever it takes to get you out of there. And if they have to perpetuate a rumor or like bring up old stuff, if Conan, who knows, maybe they's Conan O'Brien.
Could be.
I don't know.
Here's the other thing.
If people don't. Or want to get to your position, they'll do whatever it takes.
Another guy somebody pointed out on email said, you're right about Ricky Gervais, Howard Stern. He's the one who's got the gigantic finger that says, I dare you to come after me. I've evolved. I've grown. I don't do the same things I used to do, but you're not going retro on my ass. You're not doing it because he scares the hell out of them. He's stronger. He's smarter. Right. And he'll make better points. What he'll do is unfortunately use logic against this gigantic wave of morality that comes at him and say, I can fight this off in a heartbeat. Watch, and I'm going to make you guys look foolish for coming after me. They leave those people alone. That's off limits. For some reason, Howard Stern is probably the biggest offender. There's blackface, there's lesbianism, there's womanizing, there's sexual harassment. There every single thing that we're like, oh, this is terrible, and we'll go back, and everybody's untouchable, and good for him. That's awesome. Because he's the loudest voice in the room that'll say, you want to come after me? Verbally, you will get destroyed. Whoever the individual is that wants to step forward and say, that guy, goodbye, you're going to look like an idiot in a minute. And that's the thing. And I think that's where everybody's kind of like, who is it? Who? I think that's the fear of it all, is the unknown.
If you can handle the pressure, if you deal well with being under pressure, and but no matter what, some lawyers whispering in your ear going, hey, like maybe like we always bring up the Gilbert Gottfried thing, why is he apologizing for that?
But
you've got a lawyer in your ear going, hey, you don't lose all your money, just say, I'm sorry.
And that
we'll
scares people. Yeah.
Because it is a 24-hour news cycle. And it does sound like an easy way out. Like, all right, I'm sorry, they'll move on to somebody else.
Well, you're apologizing to no one but the money.
And the guy still got fired.
Yeah.
Gilbert Gottfried apologized
for that.
Because he apologized.
Make it.
He got fired because he apologized.
That's
no, because
debatable.
He even said it himself. He's like, I apologize.
He felt like he did.
And they turned and said, right. Affleck told him, when you admitted you were wrong, we knew we had to get rid of you.
But anytime you're
He's apologizing to try to save the
he
money.
He apologized to the sponsor. He didn't apologize to people. He didn't care.
Right.
Whenever you're getting tied into a corporation like that, the rules are going to be
totally
pretty
different.
Strict.
And that's, but they hired Gilbert Gottfried. Whenever you tie into Gilbert Gottfried, you have to
But what do they
know.
Care?
You have to take on a little bit of risk as the hirer, a little bit. But
you would
it's
think.
Never been
you know,
that way.
You know what? I still love that it was so offensive that in order to make the point of getting rid of Gilbert Gottfried, they got an impressionist to do the duck afterwards so you wouldn't know the difference.
Not much difference.
It doesn't add up.
And it's probably cheaper
But that's
for
my
him,
point. So. It's like the whole – you don't know who it is. So I think that's the thing we're more worried about. And the reason that the debate rages is because is there one in your office? Is there one near you at all times? Who is the person that's going to get me? You feel like there's a boogeyman out there of morality, and you don't know who it is because they is blank. It's a gray thing. And so you're like, am I walking on eggshells all the time because I have to or because there is a reason? And you know, I don't really walk on them that much, but I'm you know, you're more careful. And we had a memo that went out that said, hey, if a man and a woman are in an office room, put another person in there. That became kind of a company standard of don't do this. Don't be the one. We don't know who it is either.
Somebody doesn't like you. They're
right.
They.
And you have to be careful.
And if you dug a little deeper into the Jimmy Fallon thing, and it's like political revenge is where it started.
That's what it is.
So,
but
you know, if you dig and you really look into things, you can kind of figure out what's going on.
For everyone, especially all you people who have had Facebook since 2004. Everybody who's decided to have a chronological timeline of every thought they've had.
Yep.
And then you got
evidence.
Instagram, and you're leaving a trail of evidence that's on. It's like journaling every time you said the N-word and writing it down with a date and context and everything else, and then shutting the book and say, my N-word journal. When somebody comes and finds it, like, what's this? Oh, I write it down every time I say it. Why are you doing this to yourself? And that's what I've never understood social media for that at all. I just don't get it. Why you'd want people to have access to a record of your thoughts and beliefs and things you've
done. You think Blake Snell thought things would blow up on him like they did? He doing his little Twitch stream, having fun.
And that's immediate.
Yeah.
You know, it always makes me laugh is when
fans.
When they started to go after baseball players who, when they were 14, did something stupid. And I'm like, of course they did.
Yep.
They were 14. That's what they do. They do stupid things. They're corrected. Which is learn? That's called
They're
that
learning.
Used to be called learning. Mm-hmm. You do a dumb thing, you get corrected, and you don't do it anymore. That's progress and learning. Now it doesn't matter if you have 7 years of no. Look what you did when you were 14, and then there's a guy sitting there for the Brewers going, "Yeah, I guess that was really dumb when I was 14." I'm like, "Well, I don't know if we should let him pitch anymore." And it kind of got heated for a while. Like, well, what's he do now? And then they dug around and tried to find more.
But then we're Cubs fans, so we're kind of happy. We're like, ooh, take the Brewer down.
Absolutely. Suspend I'm thrilled him. With Jimmy Fallon being in trouble. I'm not a fan.
Suspend him, and then we get some extra wins.
I wanted Tom Brady to go to jail for the rest of his life for Deflategate. But when they started to do things, you're like, oh, geez, as a human being, you just can't. You can't sit back on this stuff.
People try to tear you down, man.
Yeah. And then we're worried about blackface with Jimmy Fallon. Meanwhile, a cop throats a black guy in Minnesota, and it's on tape, and there's like, there's no defending anything anymore. You can't sit back and say that. You can't also lump all cops into the mix, but it doesn't look great every time you turn around that there's like another news story going, oh, you're worried about Jimmy Fallon and blackface because that's going to change everything?
Head scratch.
This is what you need to
And now they're protesting today, and they're getting tear gas and all that, which is like, people are throwing it out there, and it's like, it's a riot. You have to have a response.
Riot response team. Yeah.
You can't just let it run amok. So, I mean.
Yeah, it stops. It's not peaceful because they don't want peace,
right,
and I don't blame anybody for saying that I'm going to tear it down.
Completely.
So then you just shake your head
I
and
see
go,
both sides.
We're upset at blackface. We think that has something to do with it. It's terrible. And it's not blackface. If you look up the true meaning of what blackface was versus putting makeup on to look like another character. I mean, the Kardashians, for God's sakes, have done plastic surgery to look more African-American. Talk about appropriating anything. My God. Yeah, we're also freaking sensitive. But I would like to go to Eric's tranny meetings at his house there on Sundays. I think that sounds...
grilling, having fun, and I'm like, whoa, what happened to the conversation over here?
Fantastic. I think I could sit through that. And I don't know that I'd say a word. I'm just like, oh, yeah. Anything you have to say about that, Aaron? And none of you are trannies, right? No, we just happen to be well-versed. That's fantastic.
It's odd Memorial Day conversation.
You learn new things.
Fantastic.
I try not to sometimes, though. I'm just like, I'm going to go grill now.
Yeah. I mean, if it gets to the point where you're like, okay, they're out of their minds. I don't know what's going on. Then I'll walk away and laugh. And
yeah, the last thing you want to get into is, no matter what the subject is, a debate or an argument. But it always seems like
well, you can avoid
happens,
the argument.
You know, the Thanksgiving thing or whatever where people are like, oh.
Yeah. You know, people want to have these conversations. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just funny.
Yeah.
I feel like the old man now, like, oh, my God, what are these
What are you talking about?
Guys just in college or just out of college.
That's
and they know
not
everything.
Right there. That's
a PCU. Yeah. And an adult, you can sit back with a kid and not argue with them if you're an adult human being without getting heated about it. But just look at them and go, yeah, everybody should have rights, shouldn't they? Shouldn't it be everybody? What do you guys care about that for? What's the proletariat and the bourgeois? Oh, God, here we go. You've been reading. This is great. I just want to hear your new big words. It's the patriarchy of society has always been stomping down on the femininity and the beauty of, oh, my God, how bad do you want to bang this chick?
I got that happening, you know, with the younger ones, and then my old man wants to talk about politics every 5 seconds.
You should have your dad fly out for Memorial Day training convo.
Then the flat-earthing cousin.
That's fun.
Flat-earthing cousin comes by. Yeah. Oh, what the hell's going on? This is why we want to quarantine ourselves and not talk to any
idiots. I'm fine with that. And then your big round brother shows up, and God knows what he's going to do. He used to be flat, now he's round, so he's the argument in a nutshell. He's personifying the flat earther. I would love that. Eric's dad, the tranny rights conversation, Eric trying to make some food for everybody. And
That might actually go down at Christmas time. I didn't even think about that.
Fantastic. I'm coming dressed as a woman. And I'm going to have bruises all over my face. I was beaten up on the way over. I have no rights. And then I'll leave. This Molotov cocktail of conversation that goes off. Yeah. We've all lost it a little bit. Everything's goofy. And it's not different. It's just louder. It's just more. And it's faster. I mean, these conversations went on and
so
on.
So quick.
Back in the 60s. I don't know why these people want rights. And kids are talking about letting black people into my house. No, it's nothing's different. These goddamn hippies want to change everything. Yeah, right.
Yeah, just new groups,
it's
basically.
Just big and loud. And there's a comment section now. Before it was just dad said stuff, everybody shook their head, and we moved on. Now there's a comment section. And the comment section used to be Meathead on Archie Bunker.
Yeah.
It's the exact same thing. Yeah. Archie was the voice of the Archies, and Rob Reiner was the voice of Meathead, and he represented the other side, and that was the comment section. You had a chance to say something through them, and they did a pretty good job speaking for the masses. And some people understood it and some people didn't. Just, I mean, people, and that's the other thing. People used to get mad at Archie Bunker. The people who didn't understand it got mad that this racist was on TV. I'm like, you don't get it.
Right.
He's being made fun of. Like, every episode is to show how dumb his perspectives are. And you just, if you don't get it, please step away from it because you're going to, what do you want?
Right.
Archie to clean up? Then it's not a show.
But in the case of Fallon, shouldn't that be also the case where you show me the complainer, and we'll have a discussion. Like, show me the person who's actually outraged by it.
Your
so
accuser.
That we, right, exactly.
Well, I mean, the article is written by a right-leaning publication that basically said, Megyn Kelly's out at NBC. Everybody needs to be who has an egregious
political
past.
Revenge.
And it is.
And you're going to get – it's just going to get worse.
Yeah, oh, no, it's not
going
to
getting
bad.
Closer.
Oh,
yeah. They're just going to fire shots.
Well, especially because both the parties have – incredibly flawed candidates.
Oh,
so
yeah.
The attempt to distract us with social problems.
Yeah, you want to talk about digging into histories?
Well, they don't
both
want
these
that.
Guys no, have long. They, both these guys have
stop.
Long histories.
But basically, it's going to be.
But it's going to be out there.
Social issues
yeah.
are going to be the thing that they make us argue. You know, the red herrings and the things that they throw to us, so we don't dig too deep into their deal. Yeah,
there's just so much stuff with both these guys that. You know, even the followers on social media, like, you know, just your buddies that are, you know, for one or the other, they're going to be posting stuff. Well, back in 2010, back in blah, 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 this happened. You know, it's like, oh, God, just gets old.
Man, I don't even know how much it'll – I mean, it's coming up so fast, and we're still knee-deep in the COVID madness.
Yeah. Well, what's going – yeah, nobody – nothing's changed there. We're just tired of it. What's going to be great is 2 80-year-old men on a stage arguing about tranny rights. That's what I want to see. That's
exactly.
The future of our country. 2 80-year-old white guys telling us all about tranny rights.
Hey, you've already had it with Biden in his interview.
Yeah.
With the black comment.
Hey, you're not black. If you don't vote for me, you're not black.
It's already begun.
And Charlemagne the God, and the fact that he's on that show in the first place. is
come
so,
on. If you're him, you'd take that.
No, you don't. You've already won.
You
that.
Wouldn't take Biden.
I would never talk to black people if I was Joe Biden because I've already won it.
No, why? He's saying Charlemagne the God.
Charlemagne the God, for sure you take it. I was going to say, if I'm Joe Biden, I'm like, look, I got this locked.
Biden's
got
to just shut up.
I'm not stepping in anything on a black show.
Yes,
because I tend to do that. I'm not talking to any of you. Is Arsenio still around? Maybe I go on his show. Outside of that, I'm not going on the Breakfast Club with Charlemagne the God to talk about the hippest things I can think of. And Charlemagne's a good interview. He's actually really good at what he does. And, you know, it's not like some hip-hop show like most white people probably think it is. But it's, I mean, the guy is socially super aware and actually really good at what he does. And to have Joe Biden on is proof of that. But the fact somebody said, yeah, Joe, you should go on and be hip with Charlemagne the God is so transparent as pandering. It's disgusting. And then for him to follow up at the end, if you can't decide on me or Trump, then you're not black. All right, we'll be right back. Jesus, Joe, you had one thing not to do, which is offend black people. We like you. How dare you?
His handler's in the room looking in the window of the studio when that's being said.
Oh, my God. I told him not even to say the word black, even if they asked him about coffee. just say, I'll have a cup of coffee however you guys drink it. If you're going to pander the whole way.
Donald, get on there with Charlemagne.
He should have had some.
Give us some more gin.
A 40 and a big coat and cornrows. I mean, if you're going to pander, go for it. Biden face. But yeah, I mean, this is what we have to look forward to for the next few months. It's going to be weird. But I just don't know who they are. And I don't see it as a progressive society. I see it as a regressive society when we constantly bring up race and sexuality and dangerous words. And it's like, man, I think we're going the opposite way. We're not growing up. We're putting things in the closet. We're hiding stuff.
Yeah, I kind of always thought.
I still think.
Like, it was always mentioned when we were younger how free Europe is. Hey, they got boobs on TV and they cuss. We're going the opposite direction. I thought by the time I was this age, it'd be like totally free. There'd be women all over the place naked.
Yeah, on TV.
Cussing.
There are, actually, but you have to go get it.
That's true.
It would be just delivered.
I figured it'd be a little easier nowadays. Same. Like, people would be more free with their conversations. But no, it's more restrictive.
And we'd be more grown up about things. Right. It seems like we've gone the opposite way. It's like, oh, my God, telling a woman her hair looks nice is potentially, cost you your job. Like, how? Just you never know if you catch her on the wrong day. All right, I won't do it. I don't understand. Well, you're dealing with someone with mental illness. How was I supposed to know that? How was I supposed to know everything about them when I said the thing about, well, her sister passed away in a terrible tractor accident, and you were very insensitive. I didn't know. Well, that doesn't matter.
This one listener messages, and the lack of willingness for older generations to step in and stand their ground that the younger people and media outlets have construed and twisted societal views.
Well, I'll tell you this.
Yeah, I think
there's the truth of that is why Donald Trump won the presidency.
That's 100%. The older generation standing their ground.
That's them standing their ground saying, you're not going to take over
It isn't this way.
Not everything is politically correct headed down the way. I mean, when Hillary Clinton stood on a stage and basically said the future is scared the hell out of white people.
Yep.
The future is brown. And she basically said, it's no longer white men. It's women. It's brown people. And there's a bunch of white guys going, well, you just called me irrelevant, and I think I have to prove you wrong. And it was less about agreeing with the guy they voted for and more about just saying, you're not going to politically correct me out of society. I still have a voice. And that is, to me, that's the sole reason that Trump won.
Sure.
It's because the older generation and people who are like, hey, I have tons of money and I spend it. And I'm not going to sit back and be told everything I've ever done in my life is incorrect.
But then you have a problem with, part of our generation too is that, we are the ones running businesses now.
Sure.
And we're going to take the PC route. We're not going to hire Frank. If we hire Frank Caliendo, no, don't talk about that.
Right.
Don't talk about this because I'm scared.
Right.
I don't want anybody to get mad.
If you're scared of Frank Caliendo, you're living in a shell,
man.
Because Frank is a company
that.
Boy.
He's think
a company
about that.
Boy.
Mm-hmm. Don't do a black boy.
He ain't going to hurt you. Frank is a ladybug. He's a very funny, talented ladybug. He is not going to hurt you. If you ask him not to, he's not going to hurt you.
Yep.
So if you're worried about that, you shouldn't be in the business of hiring comedians. Period. But people want to dive into things.
But we made so much money this year.
Right. We got to get somebody.
Imagine them trying to go out there and find the right comedian.
You can't.
You're running scared.
Yeah.
And
that's what I feel
that's
like.
That's perpetuating the problem.
Yeah. There's a lot of running scared. But I think it's just natural. It's like that Indian comedian Veer Das came in and said, hey, look, you're a young nation. You're going through a time where it's like we're having another clash of ideals. You know, most of the time the newer one wins out eventually as the older one dies. But, you know, there's going to be people hanging on to something, but they keep calling it archaic. And there's a lot of truth to the idea that there are some things that we need to hang on to. We can't just keep dismissing the boomers as idiots. They weren't idiots. They had a lot of things wrong, but they weren't idiots. And they still run quite a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Man, I didn't realize how that boomer thing's taken up. My 9-year-olds run around calling people boomers.
And that is too.
It's hilarious.
You know, my friend from Scotland said the first thing they do is degrade the older generation. And I'm like, you're crazy. This is 20 years ago.
Yep.
There's a reason he left Scotland. He goes, they degrade older people, take away all their ideals, and then force new ones down their throat. That doesn't work. It causes clashes. I'm like, you're paranoid. He goes, that's happening here. I'm like, oh, you don't know. Hit your shot and we're golfing. I'm like, you don't know anything about anything.
Today's got us all fighting right
dumb
now.
Scott. And I'm like, holy cow, was that ever right? Then they take over television, give kids a channel, and start indoctrinating them. I'm like, really?
See, now we're getting into the conspiracy.
But that wasn't a conspiracy in Europe. Just, that was human. Part of the plan for the – they had it on paper, basically like, here's what we'll do. You teach the younger generations the right way because the older generations are wrong. And it happens, and that is true. But you can't lump it in and say that everything they've ever done is wrong. And that's kind of what happens naturally is that people are like, oh, boomers, they represent this, this, and this, and it's all bad. Instead of saying, also, there's 1,000 things that these people did that are unbelievable. On top of having flaws, by the way, the generation that's coming up that's so perfect right now and woke, your kids are going to hate you. You're not woke. You're wrong. You're doing things today that in 30 years are going to be considered stupid and weird and wrong. And it's going to drive you nuts.
There's positives and negatives for every
generation. Every generation has flaws and every generation does great. But we're very quick now to dismiss the last one.
I think that's
because
the main
because
thing.
They're not technically savvy. Right. Instagrams comes up the second you make a mistake on a computer. Oh, it's Instagram. People want to attack you because there's a younger generation that feels marginalized.
Touch.
The younger ones are fighting back and they're winning.
It's history. It's always this, it's the same behavior. It just maybe you could say, well, a lot of it travels fast.
Well, it's just louder and faster.
But you look at the generations before that, and I mean, everyone, it just repeats itself.
Yep. But it gets loud. Right now, it's super loud. Yeah, I can't imagine how it was growing up in Germany in the 40s and stuff.
Oh, man.
And thinking that things are bad compared to what we're complaining about right now. I mean, that had to feel like the end of the world. Everyone on the planet wants to kill you and is actively doing it?
Yeah.
At the tail end.
Wouldn't you feel
part
of the
early parts, they were like, hey, we've got some money and stuff. But then once the news broke and you realize, oh, we're not getting the news.
Yeah.
We're getting what they want us to hear.
Yep.
Do you think they ever realized that until the end of the war?
A lot
I don't
of
think
them
they
did.
Realized.
You talk about my ex step-grandpa-in-law?
Yeah.
I'm not sure how that worked out.
Okay.
But he was in Romania. He's a professor at Columbia. Brilliant man. They realized very early on as a child, the information pipeline was one-sided, and they needed to get the F out of there because everyone was trying to kill them for being in their area.
But isn't that the catch-22?
Yeah, because if you didn't fall in line, you were going to get killed.
Right.
It was crazy.
But isn't that the catch-22, though, as the populace? I mean, you're a German people— and the world is trying to kill you. How do you go somewhere else when everyone knows you're German?
You go and apologize. You
gotta
guess. You sign up for their
side. Become Jimmy Kimmel?
Or you get on a boat.
Or Jimmy Fallon?
You get on a boat and float over here, which is a lot of them did.
Which is pretty wild about the whole
nuts
war thing. There's History Channel started that thing on Grant, the Civil War general. Yeah. And it's so weird because the wars all end similar. It's like, it's done. Okay, turn in your gun. And everything, and you're on your way.
That's it. Off you go.
See ya. We'll hold the officers accountable, you know, whoever.
Right.
Perfect example of a generation tougher than ours is the European boomer, or I guess silent generation.
Right.
Istvan was, he teaches at Columbia. He's a tenured professor at Columbia, history, and one of the most brilliant people I've ever spoken with. And on 9/11, with my ex in the tower, not knowing anything, finally, word gets out that she's clear and can walk all the way up to the Columbia campus where he lives and stay with them for a little bit while we're trying to get clear of everything. So I called him and I said, she's coming to your place at like 6. It's a beautiful day. Like, no, it's not, Istvan. Oh, you should be. It's like the park. There are kids outside playing. And then all of a sudden the smoke. It's just unbelievable. What a waste of a beautiful day. And I'm like, wow. you lived through bombing raids. I forgot. This isn't that unusual to you. This was your childhood. And he's like, this happens. It's been a while, but this happens. He wasn't fazed by the buildings getting hit. He's like, people do bad things. This is part of living. And I'm like, and I learned something that day. I'm like, wow, all this is so new to us. And we're under attack. And oh my God, we're all, what's going to be? And I'm like, this dude's looking at it like, oh yeah, this again.
Here we go.
Yeah, there's a way out. It's crazy. So there is something to the older generation you can sit back and look at and go, you guys might have some views that are a little bit scatterbrained, but tell me how you got through all this stuff.
Like, that's why I'm having a hard time getting fired up about like the Jimmy Fallon thing. Or like,
No.
Because
it's
the same thing over and over again.
My only beef is that
when you
don't allow an opposing opinion and that becomes wrong, then you do have a pipeline of one direction.
But there's more than an opposing opinion.
Yeah. Oh, no.
There's a gazillion opinions.
They're
from all directions.
When it starts to perpetuate through, it's like, yes, we all have opinions about it, but the standard is going to be the fear-based eggshell standard in all offices. Then you don't really have an opinion that matters. You've got a voice underground saying, I don't like this, but I'm not going to step on anything because that's my job.
But this is why I think Fallon's going to be fine, though.
Could be.
It's because
he'll be fine.
It's been happening. People have been fired in the past. I think the more something happens to you like that, the less damage you're going to take.
Apology can be acceptable.
But
right. It's going to be like, oh, we've been through this.
Doesn't it make you guys want to cancel your Facebook just in case?
Well, I've already begun.
No, I know. Doesn't it make you want to scrub it all? Just like, just get off Instagram.
Scrub it and delete it all?
Just get rid of everything just in case. Like, you could probably go back and go, that was funny then. This meme was funny then. But now it just looks bad. Scrub. Like, why have the record? That's what I don't get. And you're right. Fallon will probably be fine. Whatever else.
You know what?
It's
because
like,
I think you have value in applying context. I think if you had that up years ago and you said it was, as long as it wasn't offensive then.
I just don't think keeping
records. I just think it does what you ask for, to not apologize
don't
for
defend
it.
Defend now.
To say, right, to not defend it now. And, and if you weren't pissed then, you
but
can't
again,
be pissed now.
To evolve is to say, all right, that's wrong today, so I guess take it down.
It's a little
there
addictive.
There is a measure of that,
it's
sure.
It's almost like having, I used to be a Nazi, so I keep the symbolism. But I've grown out of it. You know, it's still on
it.
There.
That's
so if you don't go back,
extreme,
if you don't go back
I
and wipe it away,
yeah.
I'm being extreme on purpose.
Yeah.
But if you don't wipe it away, then in a way you're kind of like it's no big deal to you.
Yeah.
And did you? And that's the thing I don't get
depend,
about. That's why I don't get social
on
media.
The context,
I don't understand social media. I don't understand why.
There
why
is a weird addiction that is hard to really understand because I've seen so many people post stuff about this is my last time. I'm done. I'm tired of it.
Yeah. Oh, there's tons of that.
Three days later,
they're back
posting again. Yeah. Doesn't matter the medium.
They can't resist.
I know. It's a weird thing.
A weird addiction. I see people like that all the time.
You get your opinion out there.
The
and
I love
get,
my wife guys and the I love my husband people.
that's another weird thing.
That's another weird
I don't understand
thing
that.
All together.
I don't understand anybody thinking that. That's something you want to document.
There's a bragging part of it. There's,
oh, that 100%.
And everybody always says, well, it's to keep up with family.
No,
it's not.
Because it's what you say. You never put your bad days on there.
Yeah, call your family. There's other ways to call your family. Mm-hmm. It's a way to avoid family and make it look like you're not.
No, they put their bad – they'll post
some
it
people,
looking
sometimes.
For
they're,
like
when
a
they're
cry
looking
for help.
For, yeah, when they're looking –
there's like three different types of people on Facebook. The braggers, the people who have no problems, and the people who are only problems. And that's basically what I see when I go on there. It's like, I've had another
it's
terrible
that way on
afternoon.
Twitter and Instagram too.
Yeah,
it's a weird, weird,
I don't get
weird
it.
Thing. But there are uses for it.
Sure,
there are.
But I see the downfalls.
It's entertaining.
Of it more. I don't.
Can I be. Mean? I mean, look at we have videos every day from Brady. Like,
yeah,
almost. No, it's
I mean,
entertaining
on,
in the fact
on Brady
that
videos.
There's some of that you look into and you classify the three categories. You go back and you check the one that, you know, talks about nothing but miserable days. And every now and then you might go back and, oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
here we go again.
Nightmare.
Or the bragger.
Tells you about people.
Yeah. Peeping Tom.
Yeah.
It legalized Peeping Tom.
Around. Yeah, and people love that.
And
that's
we
what we watch
it.
Reality shows.
Yeah, again.
It's a reality show on social media.
People will post their stuff going on in their house. But if somebody ever stood in your window and peeked in, you'd call the police. But you're inviting them in just with the things you want them to see. And it's weird because
sometimes
feel like
you don't realize what they see.
To jump
you
back,
realize this is in your like a picture of your house or whatever. I see you didn't finish painting, or you know, there's a picture back there. Look at Royal Norman.
Change that one.
Or your house with the crates of inappropriate produce.
Right. Yeah, the ads for old racist produce.
Yeah.
Hilarious, but probably shouldn't have those up.
Right.
John, I'll tell you what you do if you're German. You go to Mexico and you bring that goddamn accordion. You start teaching polka music to the Mexicans.
You know, that's the biggest affront to culture that's ever occurred. When the Germans brought polka music to Mexico and they embraced it and turned into whatever the hell that noise is they make with accordions and horns in Mexico. What is that stuff? And it's still, talk about a society that hasn't progressed culturally with music. For Christ's sake, the number one station in the city for a little while was the Mexican channel. I'm like, what are they playing? Like Mexican rap? No.
Still?
Could you imagine if there was a tuba in any modern American music right now and it wasn't like a joke?
Well, tuba rock? In the war, we had the tuba in our bands.
Who?
In the military bands?
In the military bands, yeah. There was a tuba.
In the military bands, but not on our radio or pop culture.
Well, no.
Yeah, you're not going to get. Maybe Gwen Stefani had one in that Bananas song, and that was.
Was there a tuba?
Alito has learned all about these weird instruments through his family.
Trust me.
Weird situation.
If it's weird, he's played it.
It could be Rock Wars.
Yeah, the strangest instrument in the songs with a tuba. The only one I know of is Gwen Stefani when she wanted to fight that teenage girl at age 35. Remember, she went back to the high school to fight that. She got the band in there. She just wants to beat up a girl under the bleachers. I'm like, you're 35 years old, Gwen.
What, Bananas?
Yeah. The whole song is about her beating up a 35. At 35, she's still going to go back to high school and kick the bejesus out of somebody.
She had a tuba?
Yeah, they had a marching band. That's the whole background.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't watched videos in a while.
It wasn't even the video. You can hear the in the back, like that miserable tuba sound. While a 35-year-old woman stalked a child at a high school. I never understood why that song was popular.
John, I'm coming through my friends list, and I just found this post. I love my wife so much. She is my everything. Signed OJ, 10/195.
See what happens?
That's when he got off. Yeah, now you can retroactively go back for murder. That has no statute of limitations. There's a reason we put those on. Because after a while, it's like if the society's not mad, we're not mad anymore either. You're mad about everything now, socially. It's crazy. Anyway, we've just kind of lost the gauge of normalcy. Just kind of like the idea that your opinion is less than the dictating.
And this is when we want it back the most, at least the way this year has started out.
Yeah, again, though, I just thought, you know, I consider it regressive when there's more words you can't say and more things you can't do because people don't understand context anymore. It goes the wrong direction.
Doesn't part of you want to, like, dig up dirt on Brady just for wearing that Bengals shirt today?
Yeah,
he's doing it to himself.
Like, you could go back in his Instagram, find something, and then just kind of
throw it. You know, in the olden days, I used to call him, like right now, I'd look at him and I go, you're such a homo F word. But I would say it. But I don't do that anymore because I'm woke. Am I still thinking he's one of those for that? And I'm thinking, like, in the worst possible 1980s homo F word way for wearing that incredibly gay Bengals logo.
You can't say that.
I mean, incredibly happy Bengals logo.
This is Bengals?
I thought there's a B for my name.
My
gay neighbor sent me a thing. They're on this road trip, and they sent me a picture yesterday, and it said, welcome to a wonderful, colorful Colorado. And I'm like, I don't know. It looks pretty gay and white to me because they're under the picture. And Troy's like, you're such a dick. It's the best neighbor we could ever have. And I'm like, wow, you know, quit sending me pictures how colorful it is, and you two white asses are boning each other under the sign.
Being dark's just more fun.
Oh, yeah. Brady, yeah. Be honest. Do you have a number 9 Burrow jersey on the way?
I don't.
No, because you're not that guy.
Yeah.
You wait to see if he pans out.
I thought he'd do it just to rub it into you.
If anything, he's got a Ken Anderson jersey coming.
That's true.
You're always better going with the old guys.
He's not going to get somebody. He loves Booby Clark because the man's name is Booby. He has no real bearing on Booby's statistics or anything, but he just liked the guy.
He could run, man.
Yeah. You were...
Yeah, you're like the girl that likes the teams because they look good in their pants.
You keep bringing up Booby Clark. It's true. Did you like the uniform change? You were probably like, what are you, 15, 16 when the Bengals went from their basics
to the word entertaining.
You like the Tiger Stripes?
I laughed at it more than
I don't know if I could still be.
Because the Browns and Bengals playing each other in 1980 looked like the same team.
Well, it's just, and the one just had stickers on their head.
Yeah. So boring.
Disgusting.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'd call you all sorts of horrible slurs normally, but I'm woke. I'll do it quietly to other people.
You've changed,
room.
John. Not really. This world has changed, dude.
You've adapted.
I've adapted. Yeah. I haven't changed at all. First thing I thought of was, ugh. I beeped it. But in my head, I said it 100 times. In my head, I just rattled through and said every bad thing you could say about it. I just didn't say it out loud. I will when the mic's
off the mic.
Yeah, when
different
we're done.
Story.
Yeah, when I'm not going to broadcast it for the sponsors to hear me call you the homo F word, but I'm going to. Yeah, because I know you're not going to get all upset and go to HR. Now, if you did, I'd laugh hysterically. I'm like, well played, chess master.
John called me a because of my clothes.
Could you imagine the list of stuff we would have on each other if one of us went to HR?
Don't care. I would like to sit in an HR meeting and go, yep. what do you say? I did all those things.
Let's pull up those terrible text messages.
Say that one more time. Yeah, I did.
You want to go through my phone? Well, we didn't even ask. I'm going to let you. Wait till you see this.
It'll blow your
mind.
It's
terrible in here. I'm embarrassed by it. Here, let me just start with Paul and then Eric and then this group I have.
I should be arrested.
With Ted Huffman. It's just terrifying.
Right.
Some of the stuff is just terrifying.
A cop should knee my throat right now. Just sit on my throat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's a thousand things in here that are horrible. Murder. I've made fun of it all. Rape, murder, everything. What else do you need to know about me?
You don't seem afraid of any of this.
I'm not.
Well, we can't attack you then. We need someone who's going to quake and apologize immediately for something that we weren't mad about 10 years ago.
That's what you're looking for. Because that lends credibility to the movement. The quaking guy afraid of the money. It gives money more power. And everybody always says, businesses are in control and Amazon this and everything. It gives money more power when you quake and cower.
Yeah. Just don't put your dark humor on social media.
Just don't broadcast.
Like James Gunn.
I'll do it for you.
Right.
I'll broadcast all the dark stuff as far as I can go with it. But why are you doing it on social media? You're going to lose your city job. Look at that lady in Central Park. Who was
fired,
flat goofy, just nuts. But again, you don't know the context of her day. The fact that she just got mad at that bird-watching black guy.
But hold on, does that allow her to weaponize the
term?
But
is it a fireable offense if it's... walking down the street on her own time.
I know.
Respondeat, it's a superior.
But if she went over to the guy and said, I had a horrible day. I overreacted.
I'm so sorry. Right.
To him, individual who
she kind of did that on the news, but it was a little bit
It's too late.
Disingenuous, right?
Yeah.
But again, snippets of your life on a tape, and then you can't even go back. And go, dude. I am so mad at my wife right now, and you caught me at the worst time. That dog was acting like an idiot. I lost my mind, and and you can't do it privately. It's already out there.
Yeah,
so the damage is done.
And you're doing it to yourself. I know multiple people that have been fired for what they've posted.
Oh, yeah.
And do I feel sorry for them?
No. But she didn't post
it. You should know better.
Yeah.
Like, just in it, it's a different situation. Yeah. But I mean, like, I just don't feel bad for them.
No, if you put yourself in the fire, you're going to get burned.
Yeah.
And I'm fine with that.
That's
why I won't have social media. People are like, you need to get in there. I'm like, absolutely not. Because I just don't know what's not going to be funny next year. I can't predict what is funny to me today won't be just an egregious crime next year. And somebody might screen cap it.
Sure. That's a smart move.
And I'm not getting in there.
You're actually paying attention.
Yeah, I'm trying to follow along so I can continue to be an asshole and have no record of it. That's the key.
Right.
But
I don't want to be tracked.
I don't want to change.
Right.
And I certainly don't want people taping me, and I'm not going to volunteer it. I do enough of that here. But, yeah, I mean, again, and I go on the record. I hate all groups. You want to call yourself, we're a group that represents all people. You're not. You're actually diminishing your group's power by saying you're all one thing.
We represent our group.
Yeah, our group of Chinese people. Like, no, there's billions of them. You're all very different. It's degrading to say you're all one group.
We actually, I know somebody that their kid was changing genders, like, as they were growing up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they never posted any photos.
Smart.
Or they kept them off social media the whole time from 0 to 18.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about that. I'm like, that is a good move. That's something that you thought about.
Yeah.
You realize probably not a good idea.
This is harmful.
Right.
Well, I don't think you should be allowed to change genders until your grandparents are dead. I think that should be a law.
Good law.
You shouldn't confuse them.
You shouldn't put them through it. They're good people. They've got a lot of views
that
you don't understand.
They went through a couple of wars.
They don't need your ass trying to figure. You figure it out and like, look, I'm going to do this on my own. But you can't like.
They're going to have a heart attack.
You're going to kill them. And we don't want that.
Hopefully not. But
it's probably what gave them the COVID in the first place. Anyway, well, we've solved all the world's problems this morning. I'm proud of everybody.
You came in fired up, man.
I'm annoyed by it.
Your boy Jimmy Fallon goes down.
I hate Jimmy Fallon so much, but it is one of those things. Where
I don't know.
Like, my problem is when people scream out somebody did something wrong when nobody was mad about it when they did it.
Yeah,
that's when I get like, wow, there was no outrage or anger in this in the year 2000, and now all of a sudden,
why does it come up?
It's not like people are, you know, all these like a new generation that didn't. No, it's like people my age.
But don't you just feel like a pawn by?
No.
Getting involved.
That's, again, it's my job. It's social commentary.
No, I get that. So at times, you feel like you're perpetuating it.
No.
No?
I don't. No, I think it needs to be discussed, and I think it needs to be discussed in a way that people are discussing it, and not in the, Jimmy was wrong, his apology went out, and the way Entertainment Tonight's going to do it, and everybody's going to cushion it, and I think there needs to be a voice of reason that sits and says, no, folks, I hear you. I got my finger on the pulse of what's really most of you are thinking, which is, did he really do anything that bad? I get blackface is wrong today, but if you weren't mad then, can you be now? And can you retroactively go after a guy who's done nothing but prove himself worthy for 20 years since then?
Yeah.
That no one was mad? I mean, you can't really. And then the other thing, where do you go with the other people involved? You can't just blame Jimmy. That's where it seems wrong. The arrow hits Jimmy, but the writers.
Daryl Hammond did.
He dressed up as Jesse Jackson all the time. Yeah, who else gets it?
Could you imagine just you're sitting there and you're like waiting for a man to come after you.
Who else gets it?
Oh, I got so much stuff.
And your intent was not malicious or wrong, and the context is gone.
Good impression. In today's society,
that's frowned on. So what you did back 20 years ago is now anger. And it's like, well, get over it. You can't be mad about that. Now, if he's still doing it, you got something. Yeah. But we've kind of moved on, I think.
Toledo, go burn all the tapes.
Nah, keep them. I'll be fine with
that. What tapes? I don't know where the hard drives are.
I think there's a certain aspect of that that we're all right.
If you're scrubbing the internet, what's the difference? Yeah.
I'm not afraid of.
Well, there's a couple things that I know for sure are not on the internet.
That's fine.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, like John says, delete all your social media. What's the difference from
deleting that coming back history. Around?
Yeah.
And you could take, you know.
Here's my excuse for that. I didn't do that. That's Toledo. I always said
Toledo wasn't even in the room.
That's the station's ass right there. It's like, I don't want Facebook. Turn it off. No, we need it for money. Okay. Well, that's your ass then. I don't want anything to do with it. Whatever you – I have not posted a thing.
Now, you'd have to find it on some Korean site at
that time. There's some of that.
Toledo and I are the only ones that have been posting anything, and it's pretty vanilla.
Keep it that way. Sometimes I'll send.
And it's way petered out.
I'll send Richard something and be like, hey, these people are doing a nice charity event for dogs. That's as far as I'll go.
It's been a lot of charity events for dogs.
I'm not giving you guys more stuff. A funny
and the band.
Meme.
Or the band.
And then you wonder why people just post, you know, pictures of people falling off of stuff, and that's now comedy.
Viral videos.
This is the safest thing we've got. Nobody can be that creative without being afraid.
Oh, your stupid picture with your dog was the one that got the most hits.
Huge. Because people are just starved for something. It's like, oh, man with dog. I have a dog. Here's a picture of me with dog. Like thousands of people did it. Dangerous.
You think about it, like, that's such a PC.
It's completely disgusting.
Thing.
Safe. Safe is going to win. And I don't like safe. Safe is not creative. Safe stymies creativity.
So I should say, F it and just go crazy?
Kind of have.
Yeah.
We really kind of have.
Not on social media.
No, social media is different because that's a chronological time capsule.
Yeah. I've had enough and I'm not going to take it anymore.
Yeah, I'm not apologizing for anything on this unless it deserves an apology on the show.
But social media, we should.
Social media is a totally different animal.
Safe. All right.
Yeah. That's a different beast. You want to come back and go after my radio career? It's like, look, you do this every day for 4.5 hours and not slip up, dick. You want to find something in my last 20 years? That's all you've got? I got 20 other things I can show you. They're 10 times worse than the thing you found. You want to play this game?
That's just the one.
Follow me. Because I'm not going to pander to it. If that's what takes me down, then that's the move of society. That's the thing I loved about
local artist took me down.
The dude from We'll Be Gone. Remember that guy?
Yeah.
Garrison Keillor. Got accused. He's like a 90-year-old man. He's been doing that prairie. That guy lost his job. Because he said something to some woman.
He didn't even let it. He stepped away.
Chris Matthews.
Like, I'm not even going to deal with
Chris Matthews complimented a woman on her looks and goes, that's just the way society is now. I don't fit in. Bye.
Yep.
Like, wow, smooth. The new wave is upon us and I'm out of it. I don't fit in here. Goodbye then.
Like, you get to an age and you're just like, screw it. I'm done.
Yep, that's it.
It's time.
I'm fine with that. I speak to no one. Goodbye. Matthews, out. Solid. Yeah, Garrison Keillor. I grabbed an ass 35 years ago. People want me for it. I quit. What are you going to take away? And you know what's funny? When they had nothing to take away, all of a sudden Garrison Keillor's terrible behavior didn't matter anymore. Because the goal was to take it away from him, make him want it, and then take it. Then he's like, I don't want it anymore. Oh, well, never mind. Whatever you did wasn't that bad. That lady was fine. Nobody's really that mad. If Jimmy Fallon just quit the Tonight Show and said, yeah, that's it. Be like, well, can't take it away from him. Now I guess that's it. Fine. You're like, all right, Fallon should quit. What do you got on the board of information over there?
Wake Up Song brought to you by ELOteam.com. Buying or selling a house, get in touch with us. We can help you out with the process. ELOteam.com. We got Metallica up here, Ride the Lightning. Stone Sour, 30-31-50, Disturbed, Inside the Fire. Audioslave, Gasoline. A lot of fire stuff today. I don't know, maybe because of the sizzler from yesterday.
I love that Audioslave song. I was biking the other day and that one came on. Solid. All right, let's do that.
Gasoline.
Little Audioslave. That's a good biking band. Boy, you put that one on your mix and then say, hey, Siri, play Audioslave. Oof. Forget how good that band was. 30 songs come up.
Oh, yeah.
I know all of these. They went around for more than 10 years. They pulled the Beatles. They did all their work in a decade. And there's a lot. Tons of it. I'm probably on par with as many noted and memorable songs as Soundgarden has. Soundgarden started in the mid-'80s.
Super group.
Well, amazing. It's so good. You forget how good until you're like in a group, in a long list. Their whole album's good. Songs I didn't know. I'm like, how come I didn't dive into this entire record more? Yeah, Audioslave. Highly recommend you go back in time and listen to that.
And there was an article out on Metal Injection about how concert promoters are gearing up for 2021. They're pretty much saying to hell with 2020.
Yeah, I've talked to several people in the world of business who are like, we're not scheduling anything for the year.
Hopefully, and they're the ones that, okay, we can hunker down, but if...
Well, they can still do business. There's just no more traveling. There's no more events. There's no more like conventions. And the people I was talking to, they rely on this kind of meetings and things like that. It's like, we'll just zoom them in and try to plan around what's going on. Everybody's, I said it to Susan yesterday. We were talking about some stuff with business here. And I'm like, look, you know it. I know it. I know you don't like to hear it as the general sales manager of the whole place, but it's a wash. This year's a wash. And we can't really sit back and go, well, based on last year's numbers, it doesn't matter. This year's, everybody's going to get that weird drop in their chart for 2020. And
yeah, make a big, make your big battle plan for 2021. Yeah. Why not get it going early?
Because you don't know how much money you've got. Yeah. That's the scary part. It's like if you're broke for the next 6 months, 2021 is going to be real quiet.
Maybe January, you know, that's when, as far as sales go, most people do their buys and all that stuff in January for the year. So
innovation wins.
Maybe it'll come back.
The concerts will be innovated. And somebody smart will figure out how to innovate.
Well,
concerts.
We were saying a little bit, you have to... You know, right now, the only way to really bring them back on the concert side is you can't do the 25%.
Well, you can raise prices.
Right. Yeah. And then how much taller?
Smaller. And it becomes an elitist thing.
Yep.
It does.
Only super rich people can see. And then you get a class war with concerts, and the bands are already fighting for the little – come on. It's just – somebody will have to innovate. Technologically, it will have to be innovated where you can turn a small place like the Nile or, you know, the Van Buren – and digitally turn it into a 5,000-seat arena where you can buy a $10 ticket and watch inside the arena from...
You know, people were kind of digging that. I mean, there's been a lot of those shows lately that have been streaming. Maybe you could combo that up somehow. Like,
well, I've got a
you
friend,
only have so many tickets for sale, and then you stream it.
Yeah, I've got a friend who has the technology to do this. And actually have a meeting later this week with one of the venues to see if they could house it. The problem is the venue has to pay $50,000 to put all the equipment in. Unless some benefactor comes in and drops the dime. And that's tough for them to do right now because they got no events. So,
as far as video equipment?
Oh, it's amazing. It is unreal. It basically takes...
iPhones are so awesome right now. That's like, why do you need to spend that
much? He told
him that.
He said, we could do it with iPhones, but you need people there holding them. Or you need, you know, stands.
Sure.
You still have to spend money and $1,000 a seat. But you can basically take these... It's amazing. The technology is unreal. Where I can take it to where...
I know for the sound, probably, more
than... You can plug the audience in. Like, so everybody at home can clap and it would make noise there. But, I mean, the big problem is beer, vendors, things like that, they lose out. Because you get 5,000 people that aren't actually there in a room. But it's an interest. The technology is unbelievable.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, you combo it up. You could still have smaller crowds.
Right, but you wouldn't need to. Because you have a virtual theater. you have a stadium where you can sell 1,000 tickets to one seat virtually because that seat's a camera now. It's a 360-degree camera. So you can turn a 5,000-seat arena into a 2-million-person thing for a $5 ticket. Because, you know, and that's what I think the innovation will be. Pearl Jam will play at Celebrity Theater, and they'll just put 360-degree cameras that you can tie into in half the thing, and then they'll
now
do
people
the,
don't have to worry about the parking.
And then they'll charge $500 a seat for people who want to be there live, and they can separate them properly. And
God,
then
the experience, though, being there.
Totally different. But that's new. That's the innovation. The old way will be the old way, and the new way will be like,
although
wow,
it is comfortable on my couch with beer.
Not so bad.
A lot cheaper.
Not so bad. And then you just make it so you have to buy a 12-pack to get into the QR code to go. So, like, let's say Four Peaks sponsors the whole thing. You can go buy a pack of Four Peaks. You get in.
Barter town.
Yeah. Oh, the meeting will be interesting. But, it, you know, it all comes down to the venue wanting to spend the money, and none of them have any. So, I mean, it's a real kind of open-ended thing. It's neat.
Well, there'll be less venues.
But, boy, you talk about changes in the future. There's going to be, it's going to be a few years before people are super-duper comfortable with crowds gathering in mass like that, like 70,000-seaters. I don't know. Well, if they get a cure for it, but then we have another little uprising of something else new, we're going to be a little tense. There's going to be some PTSD next time they're like, oh, a novel virus. Now we know what it is. Novel virus just crept up in Hong Kong.
I mean, you look at, you know, the local government's all fired up about Old Town Scottsdale this past weekend. I mean, that wasn't slowing
anybody
down.
Oh, it won't be us. It won't be us. It'll be the people putting on the shows.
Yeah, they'll be nervous.
The liabilities are not going to be worth it. If I'm USC, I'm not opening up the Coliseum to Rammstein anytime soon. I'm not putting 80,000 people in that area. No way.
Which I don't know about the liability thing is interesting because what's the difference between someone coming in with a cold or the flu?
Because you can tell who has one.
I know, but
up until now,
we haven't been liable for that in the past.
Yeah,
because if you came in sick,
knowingly,
and you got it, and someone did die from the flu or from the common cold.
But that's because you can identify the flu. And up until recently, we couldn't identify this. So, I mean, they're writing laws now. I talked to a lawyer Friday. They're writing laws now, basically holding states can't be held accountable for events and people that can't – you can't sue them. But right now, that's not the case because it's like, you don't know what it was. How dare you open up your business to this with all this blindness going on? You know, it would be like if air was killing people. You're like, how dare you – put them out in it or invite us over. It's the same thing as having a party and somebody drinks too much. You know, beer's legal, parties are legal, but if you overserve them, you're liable.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. So if you knew this was going on and you knew there was no way to say it was safe and everybody's telling you can't do it and you did it anyway, you're liable.
And every bar that, sometimes on that overserving that they had a drink at that bar, it's included.
Sure.
On that.
You got to be careful. So liability is the big thing. That's why. But it's not going to change anytime soon. And then you get into like, okay, we can do 5,000 people or 10,000. There's 70, 80. That's a ways off. Long ways off.
Yeah, I want it.
You really, really, really want it?
Yes, I really want it.
You